Sunday school is sometimes you forget where people were at. My wife makes these bookmarkers. We give them out at the mission for years. When I come in, the first thing they ask me is not about what the message is. Do your wife make any new bookmarkers? You know, they like little novelties, I guess, you know what I mean? And so she makes them, I mean, all kinds. Here's one in the Bible she makes, but this is a new one. I thought very interesting. I don't know what led her to do this here, but it'll be put on a plastic. It's called You're Now Living in the Laodicea Church Times. Talk about, do you come to a church to hear from God? Most people come because it's a social club for them. The Laodicean age, the way of the people, doing all that appears to their flesh, no urgency for winning souls. People are on their way to a dying hell, and the church is sitting back in comfort. End time church age, Laodicea, a well without water, a sleeping watchman, a silent trumpet, an ambassador without terms, a messenger without a message, a lighthouse without a lamp, a stumbling block to the weak believers, an offense to God Almighty, burdened with wealth, poverty in their hearts, and self-deception. Oh, that's pretty good. There's a lot of meat there. Pass them out to a lot of pastors around there, you know? But I don't know, see that thing. But I thought that was quite good. And I mean, it's kind of a little meaty, but, you know, God loves you, has planned for you. Sometimes that doesn't work, you know what I mean? He doesn't love you, and has a plan for you, unless you're saved, but I'm not going to go on that road, you know? Okay, so I'm trying to finish up, probably not this week, but next week. There's some very interesting doctrinal things I thought from my last study. And remember, just to give you a brief recap, what we talked about last time. Remember I wrote this guy, John Martini Johnny. He was the Catholic guy that has 70,000 subscribers online. And I got his email from an event I went to when we were passing out tracks. They had tents out there. And he has a newsletter, 70,000. I've been getting for over a year and a half watching it. He's very Catholic. I'm like, man, these people are writing him. They don't respond back. So sure enough, I wrote him. I'm going to give you a brief recap from last week, and I'll get into what his response was. But he wrote, recap, a Baptist Protestant. He calls everyone a Protestant. Everyone that's not Catholic is a Protestant. You know, we're Bible believers, you know, not Protestants. But you get that. I mean, you know, yeah. I guess in the sense, you know, Protestant means protest against the Pope, right? We get that, you know? It's the beginning of the Bible. I get that. So I guess we are Protestant in that matter, but we're Bible believers. But give you a recap, because some of you weren't here or remember. A Baptist minister wrote him, and or one of his followers, and he goes, well, I'm going to give you 8 questions. This Baptist minister asked him 8 questions, and he published them here, and they were actually good questions. And then he responded to how you answer them. And, of course, he says this, just a reminder, if you ask a question, make sure you ask a couple back. And I'm sure you'll be surprised when you learn Catholic questions went unanswered. And you'll see later on why they go to answers, because he don't publish all the answers. But the first question was, remember, what is the gospel? And then he went on, do you understand Catholic, this is the Baptist minister, do you understand the Catholic Church teach gospel of works, and so forth, so on. And believe it or not, it's interesting, the very first answer, because now he's dealing with Protestants, he goes, well, when they ask the question, what's the gospel, he says, answer 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. That's a great answer. The only thing he published that I agree was his first thing. That's the gospel. He says, well, when they ask a question, answer 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. If you talk to, which is the gospel, Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, buried, rose again, third day, according to Scriptures, he gave that answer. A lot of times, you'll Catholics, they'll give you Mark 16, 15 to 16. If you talk to an actual Catholic that knows something about the Bible, a lot of them don't, you know, they're just come to church. If you look at Mark 16. Let's just go to that for a little bit to kind of show you what they kind of use, and I'll show you how they use that. But I can see he's been around for a little while, and he's kind of dealing with some, quote, Protestants, so to speak. So Mark 16, 15, it says here, and he said unto him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And they use that baptism as physical water. That's what, if you ask a Catholic, they'll bring you here. Well, he brought in 1 Corinthians. But you know what's interesting, and I'll cover this in detail here, some interesting doctrinal things here. Then it says, how does someone have their sins forgiven? Part B, through baptism. And of course, now he puts in baptism in there, and he names 1 Corinthians. I went through this last time, give a recap, a bunch of verses, Acts 2:38, of course. And then I've got all the other answers, and basically the bottom line is, if you understand the Catholic theology, what's interesting about this, it's important to spend a little time here, because you know why? If a man is a steward there in 1 Corinthians 4, you should understand the mysteries, right? And what's one of the mysteries? Mystery Babylon, right? The great whore. And what's interesting, and the conclusion, when I give you the big conclusion, you'll see how this, the great whore, I mean the system, I mean some good Catholic people, you know what I'm saying? The system has got into a lot of churches, big time. And a lot of their doctrine, and I'll show you, I'm going to show you what he says for my answers. It's what a lot of Baptists fundamentals are saying about us Bible believers. Ain't that something? I'll show you later. In writing here, I'm like, well, ain't that something? You get, you know, that their bad doctrine, which is satanic, is getting all around there. Show you we're in the last age, Laodicea. So basically, in every question he gave, you got to be baptized, water baptized to be saved. That's what, there's no question there. Baptism, water baptism. And then, you know, infant baptism, you know, all that. So I went through this last time, and so basically I'm giving you a brief recap. Now, on page 18, interesting here, it's I want to read this here. It says, let's see, no matter how many times he tries to reword his question about works. This is John addressing his readers. And the guy wrote this, a good guy, probably saved guy. He's trying to say, it's not works. No matter how many times he tries to reword his question about works, don't fall for it. Short and sweet are the answers. Keep your verbiage to bare minimum. I've had so many Catholics send me their email conversations with Protestants where when I print out the conversation, the Protestant asks a question and the Catholic responds to 2 or 3 pages of answers. That is rarely, if ever, necessary. When the Catholic asks a question, the Protestant will say, for instance, you're saved by faith alone, Romans 3:23, and that's it. You want the Protestant to say a whole lot more, because the more they talk, the more you have the opportunity to show the discrepancies and outright contradictions in the belief between their beliefs and the Bible. So remember, his standpoint is, as important as the love of money, real evil. He has 70,000 subscribers, and this is what makes his living from this year. He makes his living from his subscribers. About a year ago, I guess the Catholic Church disfunded him. He was getting money for them. And he goes, I got no more funding from the Catholic Church. And I wrote him an email back. He never responded back. Oh, yeah, because they're probably spending so much money on paying off the kid pedophile groups, they can't afford you anymore, you know. I put that in there, you know. Anyway, by the way, which was probably true, but, you know, he didn't see that one, whatever, you know. I'm sure he gets busy. Hey, let me tell you something. Remember Arthur Anderson, the accounting group, when Enron fell? Some of you older guys, remember Enron fell? Well, the year before that, I ran to a gal in Chicago who worked for Arthur Anderson, and she had the Archdiocese of Chicago. And they did the books for them, and at Chicago and whatever they did. And I asked her, what is the biggest line item you have? And if I remember correctly, she said it was $200 million for legal and paying off the pedophiles. That was back, what, 27 years ago? That's just 1 year. So it's hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. If you're from Chicago, remember Cardinal Bernardine? Remember him? Remember? at King James Baptist Church, if you've ever been up there when it was going, there was a guy there who, when he was in New Jersey, he was kind of molested by him. Cardinal Bernard, they have a strange Chicago named after him, a stinking devil. And when he would tell me, he literally, it messed him up. He would literally shiver talking to me. I go, hey man, sue those guys. They have all that money. Sue them guys. Give them something good. He goes, you know what though? I had to put to rest, and because of that, I ended up getting saved. So he looked at it like the Lord used that terrible event in his life to kind of open his eyes. But, you know, I mean, that's what's going on behind the scenes. Anyway, so this is an important reason why. And this falls to a lot of churches here. If your main bread and butter is being a pastor, whatever it is, all right, you kind of will tend to go where you get paid. And that shouldn't be the case, right? You call them a hireling, the Bible? They ain't our pastor, man. He just tells you the way it is, right? Amen, you know? But you can see that that's always kind of the motive act. The love of money is through evil. I'm kind of giving you a little heads up what happened here. So point being here is this guy here, you know, so I wrote him a letter. I wrote him a letter, recap here. And I said, hey, none of your people respond to your questions. And so I said, well, Tim, you don't know a lot about me, then do you? I sent you some emails before, never responded back to me. I have never been afraid to post what I received from Protestants, as it only goes to strengthen the arguments of the Catholic Church. However, I have never been accorded the same courtesy by the Protestants on their websites. I wonder why that is. So go ahead and send me your rightly dividing answers. I'll deal with your 2 Timothy 2:15, folks, and your misinterpretation of Scripture many times before. Let's see if you can be the first one to actually defend your position and logically, with logically and Scripture consistent answers. And just so you know, without going back, I laid out in detail before I even began, I'll answer questions, and I answered the first one half, remember? But I want to lay down my foundation of the King James Bible and right divisions. That's a key. And throughout my answers, I'll show you here, I would point out, hey, this verse here and the modern versions changes it around. Hey, this is an answer. So with that foundation built, it's easy to understand the Scripture. Obviously, you know, sound doctrine is the perfect word of God, rightly divided, sound doctrine. So I laid that out, and I sent it to him. I won't go into detail. I gave him all that information and answered him. I answered all his questions on the first question about baptism, went through Ezekiel. Remember Acts 2:38, detail Acts 2:38. I gave him super details. Go back to my old message. I mean, pages, Ezekiel 35:26, Acts 2:38, Galatians, remember Colossians 1:2, the operation of God. I mean, pulling everything out of context, not really dividing it. And so anyway, so after doing that and sent it to them, what does he do? He sends me 8 questions. So now we're getting to where we're going to get to here. He sends me these 8 questions that he asked me. You know, hey, I'll answer them. I mean, you know, he says he's going to answer my questions. So he answers me 8 questions on my belief. He's trying to, number one, find out what my authority is. And I've answered him. It's the King James Bible. Because I've read his newsletters before. His whole preferences, or the Catholic preferences, is you need the church, the Catholic Church, to be defined. You get that. I mean, I know he's trying to get me to go there, and I never let him go there. No. I stand on the perfect Word of God. If you stand on the Word of God, you never even go, right? If you stand on the Word of God, hey, what say the Scripture? And I go, well, you're infallible. I'm infallible, but the Word of God is not. If it's rightly divided, it's not. So, and every question that he answered, I already knew the answer to. I could answer him and ask me anything I didn't know. So I could give you the absolute perfect answer. And he just could not understand it, because everyone that he asked before, well, yeah, man's infallible. Yeah, but the Word of God is not. So I stood on the Word of God, and that kind of got him, without a doubt, pretty aggravated. It says here, he says, so in right division of Scripture theology, do you believe that Paul and Jesus preached different gospels? One of his questions. And I said, of course they preach different gospels. This is so obvious. You could have you can't be blind to miss it. And so what is the gospel called that Jesus preached? And I said, Jesus preached the kingdom gospel, Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:25, 24:14, and Mark 1:14. And what's the gospel called preached? I answered him. Paul preached the gospel of grace, Acts 20:24, Acts 16:1, 1 Corinthians 15. I said, marvel that are you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel? So he, in their mind, and I'll show you a little bit later here, they see for sure it was a works environment to get people to get righteousness in the Old Testament. They see that, but they can't cross the bridge by grace. You understand that? So they can't not go from A to B. And I'll show you in my answers here, it just kind of drove them kind of nuts. So now we're getting into where I need to go, and I'm going to finish this up this week and probably next week here. So he sends me these questions. I answer them. Now we're answering these things privately. He does publish 2 newsletters, and when I show you what he says, it's pretty amazing. I'll give you, he puts nothing I said down. Of course, he can't. But I'll show you how he comes up with this right division, what he says about it. It goes to satanic doctrine. I'll show you in a minute here. So I'm now answering him on the side, and he says he's trying to get me to admit that admit that there's no authority. And I asked him these 2 questions. I go, John, do you believe the King James Bible version is the pure and errant, perfect word of God and absolute final authority for believers today? Yes or no? He's big on saying, ask me yes or no question. So I'm asking yes or no. Yes or no? Do you believe that? 2, if no, does your final authority exist on earth today in a pure, inerrant, tangible form in any language? Yes or no? I mean, right? And 3, if yes to 2, what and where is it? And if no, why not? So, I mean, so I'm trying to be real, as clear as I can, because he's trying to, you know, trying to get to say, well, a man is imperfect, so now we need our man, which is the drunken guy in Rome, you know, with the fish hat, you know, whatever, you know. So I didn't want to go down the road. I wanted to stick with the Word of God, perfect book, right division, answers questions. Now, he's asking me here, you could misinterpret 1 or more scriptures, right? I back, not intentionally. No, it's my answer above. But you then go on to say that you are indeed infallible interpreting scriptures, that you only rely on your answers by my 8 original questions. So no, this is not a strong, I tell me you're a strong man. If you are a flawed and biased, thus fallible man, interpreting scripture, then the fact is you're flawed, biased, and infallible means by definition, and you could indeed interpret 1 or more scripture verses incorrectly. You could in fact interpret all my scriptures incorrectly. Say he's trying to get me to admit that I'm infallible. I go, well, the Word of God is not. And I said, but God has made it plain that doctrines can be absolute in answer, you know. So here's what he says. He's trying to get me back under, in Roman Catholicism, they want to get you back under the law. You understand that? They want to get you back under the law. You get that? So here he says, his response, so Jesus and Paul preached different gospels, ? I told me that. Well, let me ask you this. Who did Paul learn this gospel from? And that question is also, is there a difference between the gospel of grace and the gospel of God? And I answered his first part, yes. They were taught by God for 3 years, Galatians 1:5-18. And that's, I think, if you look at Galatians 1:5-18, let's look at that for a minute here. I think this is what most believers and I use. You know, where in the world did Paul get his doctrine from? Right? I mean, obviously it's different, right? So let's go to Galatians. I'm gonna find my Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15, it says, who is the image? Oh, that's Colossians. Here, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who spared me from my mother's womb and called me to his place to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So that's where I believe God gave him his doctrine. I think he went up there and got the Bible. Like, yeah, I gave him a verse. I asked for a verse. I gave him a verse. Then I said, the gospel of Christ appears 11 times in the New Testament. The gospel of God, appears 7 times in the New Testament. And the gospel of grace appears 1 time in the New Testament. And all 18 times, it refers to the same gospel. Those gospels are the gospel of grace. They're interchangeable. And we are saved in our current dispensation by faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. John, please note, not one time these terms appear in the book of Matthew through John or beginning of Acts, because they are kingdom gospel and it's different. The key reason, like most Catholics and other groups, are confused and deceived. You're trying to match the kingdom gospel with Paul's gospel and they don't match. The kingdom gospel of faith and works today will send you to hell, and the gospel of grace will save you from hell. So I made it real clear on here, and I'm hoping, now, I'm high on hindsight, hoping to publish some of this so his 70,000 readers, the ones that are looking for something, could say something. Okay. And here, this is real important now. Let me give you, this is a good example, by the way, if you're talking to a Catholic. Let me give you a super clear example so a blind person couldn't miss it. And in his newsletters, he always goes to Matthew 10, 17, 22, and that's where the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Remember that? And he gives him the commandments. So he just thinks that's how you're saved. And that was true back under the law. We get that? And so he just can't bridge the gap. So I just kind of pulled him first. I saw him pulled up on old people. So I said, found also in Matthew 19, 16 and Luke 18, 18, 27, is a story about a young ruler asking the Lord, Jesus Christ, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Mark 10, 17, read what the Lord told him to do. Verse 21, this is not the same answer the Philippian jailer asked in Acts 16, or Philip told Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. How can they be the same? Question mark. The Lord did not go to the cross yet in Matthew through John. He was hoping the Jews would accept him as his Messiah and bring the kingdom in. He did not shed his blood, die on the cross, resurrection of their day. They're different. Get it? John, a simple person understands this simple point. If they are different, they cannot be the same. I mean, get that? I hope I'm shedding some light on you so you can see why you're all messed up and have different gospel to the Catholic Church has. Remember, I also got deceived when I was younger and Catholic. But at age 26, I got saved out of this cult. Amen, amen. I'm always putting that in there. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I mean, I was Catholic, I can use it. So I'm trying to give him, I gave my testimony, which he did publish my testimony, that there. So I'm trying to show him, and I already know, I have all, for a year and a half, been reading his stuff. So I know what he answers. So I'm kind of taking it in readiness, kind of putting it the right way. And I could tell, you see, he's very, 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 don't know what to say here. Okay. So if you can't really divide the Bible by books, then where are the instructions? This is him reading. In the Bible, for which Bible verses and passages apply to whom and when? All of your rightly dividing is nothing more than fallible interpretation of men. Men trying to back into justifications for their beliefs of saying, oh, wait, that verse or this verse is meant for another time for other people. It's not meant for me today, which allows them to believe whatever the heck they want to believe. I think he wanted to use another word there, but he's trying to be, you know, decent about it. They want to believe in getting rid of the Bible verses that very clearly contradict what the Bible says. Now, I said, John, you're clueless. I'm answering back. John, you're clueless. I gave you two examples of a devil trying to attack these two practices back in my old study that led the mess we're in today. Plus, you are total disregard of 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, he says here, we know this. He says, I want to keep it down and simple here. He wants the rapture. I don't want to go to the rapture thing today. I want to keep on his baptism. Here we go. These nine questions he's asking me. He said, I can test that I am a spiritual man. Therefore, you have no right to judge me. I said, he that is spiritual touches all things. He didn't like that verse. They don't like when you say, oh, yeah, he that's spiritual touches all things. And you judge me in light of God's word. I could tell. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit is telling me that right division of Scripture is a lie of Satan. That's what he's saying right here. I'm giving him Bible answers in context, gave him Scripture, told him why he's wrong, and he can't answer. So I'm hoping, I'll go, why do I do this? I can't publish this stuff because how do I answer it? You know, it's hard to answer truth, right? Remember Pontius Pilate? What is truth? He didn't want to hear the answers, walked away. Truth is hard to bear, amen? So I'm giving as much as I possibly can now. Well, I contend that, okay. Furthermore, he says, and anyone who believes it teaching it is a putting their souls at risk of eternal damnation. That's what he says. So you can say your authority is God's word, and he always uses the word capital W, by the way. Okay, get that in a minute. Where is in God's word do I find the name Tim Duma so that I may believe that you are saying is true? Where in God's word do I see that the Holy Spirit is leading Tim Duma into the truth? So again, I ask you, by what authority do you declare your interpretation of Scripture a wrong or right? Now, throughout this whole time, I've told him 3 or 4 or 5 times, I go, John, look at my answers I wrote again and again. My authority is a perfect book, the King James Bible. See, you stand on that, you can never go away, right? You know, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I trusted back in the 80s when I got saved. And by studying and rightly dividing Scriptures, I can answer. I gave Colossians 4:6, 1 Peter 3:5. Not only the false world religions of the world, I name them, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, tribal religions, etc., but also the Christian cults, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, Scientology, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, etc. And the reason why I said that, remember way back a month ago, in his testimony of why he landed on the Catholic Church, is because he saw all the differences in all the, quote, religions, and he saw the harmony in Catholic. So he was searching at point. He just landed on the wrong. He landed on the wrong island, so to speak. I mean, you know. So I want to make sure that I see that too. If you got the truth, you can easily see that. You know. Also says, and also I can help out real saved brothers that are born again in Christ, who are my brethren, but are in Laodicean churches or bad teaching churches, who are off doctrinally, have bad Bibles. Calvinists, Evangelical, Lutheran, Charismatics. So, John, I am a real minister who tries to win the lost, disciple believers, and correct brethren with bad teaching. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be in season. Be out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, it says, I look forward to answers to my questions, not more questions. And I quote in 2 Timothy 4:23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. I said, comma, I hope it ain't you. You know? Which that turned out to be. So I'm trying to give him stuff, hopefully punish it, publish it, publicly publish it. Now, so, we'll close it out next time here. Now he finally responds and publishes. Okay? Now he finally, after I answered 3/4 first question with Scripture, and he asked me 9 more questions. I answered him again. Now he publishes his letter, which I get, you know, because here's the thing. Topic, how one single misunderstood word in a particular translation of the Bible, the King James Version, has led to a massive perversion of God's word. That's just crust. Let me show you how important that is, folks. I mean, see what I'm saying? I mean, after all I've given him, that's kind of his conclusion of the matter. And I'm both, hey, one word change here. And he goes, last week I left you with a little homework argument how how you could respond to this. Mr. Tim Duma written me about interpreting the Bible, and particularly about a particular system of interpretation known as right division of Scripture. Well, before I get into how I respond to him, let me tell you, just say there's no one way to respond to this garbage. And you, without going into much detail today, not one scripture, not didn't publish my, like early on, I'll publish what you, and rebuttal. Why don't you? I mean, just publish what I, give me the scripture, and let's have dialogue. You can't get someone to talk, you know, about anything in life, you'll never get anywhere. You're like talking to a brick wall, you know. Go out behind the wall here and talk to the brick wall. You're getting nowhere, right? People like that, you know. And you should discern when that's happening, it's time to bail, right? I mean, you're wasting your time, you know. However, there are certain principles. So he's trying to teach his people, instead of publishing my results, how you, because he's making money on this thing here, how to deal with people. However, there are certain principles that I am constantly stressing in these newsletters, which again are my opinions on the best way to do things, but opinions based on a long and fairly successful track record of engaging non-Catholics in debate, dialogue, argument that I think generally serve as a good foundation for my practice. So I'll give you how I responded to Mr. Tim Duma and highlight some of these principles along the way. Now, I can't cover them now, but I will next time. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to go through them next week, and I'm going to show you some things that are very, very interesting, and that's the whole point of this Bible study, how he attacks this rightly dividing King James issue, just like a lot of the churches do. But brethren, people are saved like us. I mean, you'll see, hey, he has the exact same answers I talk to saved people about. Ain't that something? I'm going to show you in writing here, you know? I mean, that's kind of a, you know what that is? That's tragic and sad. I mean, it's tragic and sad that the unsaved cult people have the same answers that the Christians have. Ain't that something? And you see how we're in this latest mess. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to cover it next time, because I just want to set you up for, so I got his next time, I got both publications what he sent, and I think you'll be quite amazed what he says. Of course, give you a head time, he published none of my answers. Not one of the ones I originally did, or he published a little bit of things that I didn't ask questions to kind of get his way. So we'll close here. Any questions about anything before I close today? And okay, Father in heaven, this is interesting because I'm always on application, and you got to be able to defend what you believe. You gave us a two-edged sword, and we're able to go out there in the world and gracefully and truth, came by grace and truth, to be able to present it to people and have good discernment on who you're talking with, and use that sword to cut one way and to help out the other way. So, Father, thank you for an opportunity here. Pray that folks would be able to be maybe encouraged, not only to engage some folks themselves, whether it be, you know, Catholics or cult members or witnesses or other religious people that has some bad doctrine, and be able to stand on those words and be able to proclaim the truth, and you be glorified. And the bottom line, they either get saved or they draw closer to you and have a personal relationship, Lord. So thank you very much for this opportunity. Look forward to Pastor Hoffman coming and the music and preaching. May you just give him, of course, liberty, and may his words fall on good ground and take good root, and we get changed and a little closer to you, Father. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.